Millions of 5 to 11-year-olds in the U.S. can now get vaccinated against COVID-19. That's after the federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention gave the final all clear this week. And limited booster shots for the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines have been underway for almost 2 weeks in Wisconsin. We're checking in on both of those stories and more with the state's top public health official. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you planning to get your newly eligible 5 to 11-year-old vaccinated? How are you talking to your kids about the vaccine? What questions do you have about the availability of vaccines for kids and booster shots? How it is all working in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Karen Timberlake is the Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Secretary Designee Timberlake, thanks for joining us today.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into those vaccines and how available they are, big picture, can you talk about the state of COVID-19 here in Wisconsin?
Sure. So I think there's sort of a good news story and a reason to stay vigilant, as one of my colleagues said the other day. The good news is, as compared to the real spike in positive cases that we saw earlier this fall, we have seen a bit of a decline in our average case count day after day and week after week. So that's good. That said, the current rate of positive cases is still pretty comparable to what it was back in the sort of early part of the year, back in the winter in January or so, really wide-scale rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. And so we also know that we have to stay vigilant in terms of making sure that everybody who's eligible to get vaccinated gets vaccinated, making sure that folks who are feeling symptomatic or know that they've been exposed to someone with COVID-19 are getting tested so that we can find and address those cases right away. Making sure folks who are not feeling well stay home when they're sick. And now is a good time also to underscore that it is time to get a flu shot, because seasonal influenza will be here before we want it to be. And that also creates a challenge, certainly for our hospitals and our healthcare capacity.
All right, now turning to a vaccine for kids. As I understand it, kids in Wisconsin age 5 to 11 have started getting vaccines today. Can you talk about what you're seeing in the rollout?
Absolutely. So really good news that this week we got the final approval from the CDC for the Pfizer vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. So this is under an emergency use authorization. I think folks who have been following the rollout of the COVID vaccines in general know that this is kind of the first phase of access to one of the COVID vaccines. Starts under an emergency use authorization from the FDA, which again relies on a great deal of clinical trial data and other careful analysis of both the safety and the effectiveness of the vaccine. So now we have vaccinators all across the state. So that may be our pediatric clinics, that can be some local public health clinics that are partnering with schools. Our pharmacies around the state have announced that they're starting to administer vaccines for kids ages 5 to 11. And so we're adding those points of access for the COVID-19 vaccine for those younger children to what is already available for kids ages 12 and up, and of course, all adults. So it's really a great expansion of the ability of parents and families to protect their younger children ages 5 to 11 from being infected with COVID-19.
And I happened to call a health clinic yesterday for an unrelated reason and got a message saying, yeah, we're getting lots of calls because of this COVID for kids, roll out the booster shots. If people are running into what look like log jams, what do you suggest to them as they're seeking vaccines for those 5 to 11-year-olds?
Yep, great question. And honestly, from a public health perspective, I'm really pleasantly surprised and pleased to hear that you're hearing reports of that kind of demand already. That's really good news. A couple of ways for people to access information about the vaccine. One is to go to vaccines.gov, which continues to be just a great repository of information as far as where the COVID-19 vaccines are available and instructions about how to sign up and make an appointment. Another option, of course, is to check, as you did, with your own healthcare provider. So in the case of parents and family members with younger children, that's your pediatrician's office, that's your family doctor, that's your community health center, if that's where you get your care. They will have information, whether it's over the phone or many of them on their websites, about vaccine availability, how to book an appointment. Another good option for people is the 211 system. So simply calling 211 connects you to a real person who can talk you through how to find out more about where vaccines are available. But, you know, I think as we have learned with the rollout of vaccines all throughout the pandemic, there is a lot of demand early on that can create a little bit of delay. We just would ask for people to be patient and to know that the really good news is that there is enough Pfizer vaccine available for kids ages 5 to 11 across the country. It just will take a little bit of time for those waves of doses to get distributed around the country. So again, vaccine is here in the state and available for those younger kids, and if you don't get the very first appointment time that you're interested in, keep checking, and one will certainly be available.
We're talking to Karen Timberlake, head of the state's Health Services Department, looking at COVID-19 vaccines for kids. We'll get into booster vaccines and public health officials leaving their posts. You can join in with your thoughts or questions on any of those topics at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Heather is with us in Franklin. Heather, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to ask about, Heather?
Well, I know that, and she touched a little bit on it as far as authorization as opposed to approval. Even the 12 to 15-year-olds, it's still in, like, the authorization period. How long does it usually take to get that approval?
Heather, thanks for that call. So again, that's the emergency use authorization versus the longer process of getting the full approval. What is the kind of time frame that people are watching for?
Right. Maybe the best way I can answer that is let's remember what happened for the COVID vaccines for people ages 16 and up. So when these vaccines first became available back at the end of calendar year 2020, so it was back in December that the first COVID vaccines were actually available, again, for everybody under emergency use authorization. And I want to say that it was in the late summer to maybe very early fall. Don't hold me to that. We can certainly get you the actual date. Mm-hmm. But it was a matter of perhaps 6 to 9 months later that the vaccines moved from emergency use authorization onto that full FDA approval status. And so, you know, I think the thing that's important for people to understand, and what I think really does underlie that really good question, is why do we start with an emergency use authorization as compared to that sort of full FDA approval? And so the thing for people to understand is that there is a great deal of rigorous research and evaluation of these vaccines in the groups of people that they are designed for that occurs long before we even get to this emergency use authorization stage. So what that means is, in the case of the vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11, it has been tested in clinical trials involving tens of thousands of kids ages 5 to 11, and it has been deemed safe and effective in those kids. And so it is viewed as safe and effective enough to be out and available on the market, and there are sort of remaining regulatory processes that need to be gone through to move it from that emergency use authorization over to full approval. But folks really should have confidence in the research and the rigorous safety validation that occurs before any one of these vaccines for any of us even makes it into a pharmacy or a doctor's office.
Heather, thanks for that call. Secretary Timberlake, parents of these 5 to 11-year-olds, I know some are excited to get the vaccine as soon as possible. Others might say, hey, you know, COVID-19, much more dangerous for older people. The rates of bad outcomes for younger people are much, much lower. Not completely safe, of course, but much lower. What is the case for recommending the vaccine, as your department is, for the 5 to 11-year-olds?
Yeah, you bet. So such a great question. And this is really one of the most challenging things about the whole COVID-19 pandemic is that each one of us is making that kind of risk benefit calculation every day with whether we choose to, you know, have a big group of people over together inside our house versus out in the backyard, what kinds of other activities we decide to engage in. And when it comes to the vaccine, you know, I guess I would make a couple of points when it comes to kids ages 5 to 11. First, it is certainly true that younger children in general do not get as sick as older people do when it comes to being exposed to COVID-19. That said, they certainly do get sick. And when they get sick, they can end up missing school and missing other kinds of activities. And one of the things we know for our younger kids is, and frankly, older teens as well, is there's just been a lot of disruption of school and activities, extracurriculars, things that kids really count on as part of their day-to-day, week-to-week experiences. And we want to minimize those disruptions to the greatest extent that we can. We also know that, again, even though most children don't get all that sick, some children do. And we have had more than 1,600 young people under the age of 20, so a little bit broader than just the 5 to 11-year-olds that we're talking about, but 1,600 younger people in hospitals in our state just since March of last year with COVID-19. And for anyone who's had a child with a complex or a serious health condition who has needed hospitalization, that's a terrifying experience for a family and really a scary experience for that child, as good as our hospital care is. So that is something that I think parents want and guardians want to avoid at all costs. And we also know, of course, that kids live in families and in communities, and they are interacting with their aunts and uncles, their grandparents, older adults in their lives. And so kids can also be transmitters of COVID-19. And we want, at the end of the day, we want to protect everyone all across our state from this disease and put this pandemic in the rearview mirror. So all of those things are reasons that we really do recommend, and the American Academy of Pediatrics really recommends, that every child age 5 and up get vaccinated against COVID-19.
We're talking to Karen Timberlake, Secretary-Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, with us today for a look at COVID-19 vaccines for kids, booster shots, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you getting an appointment for your 5 to 11-year-old? Have you gotten it yet? How about booster shots? Are you seeking one? Have you gotten one? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about the latest on the fight against COVID-19, including vaccines for kids. Secretary-Designee Karen Timberlake is with us from the State Department of Health Services. Go back to your calls now with Cindy in Green Bay. Cindy, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My daughter turns 12 in December, early December. Do we get the 11-year-old dose now and get her fully vaccinated, or do we wait until she turns 12 and get the greater dose?
Yep, that is just a great question, and I know it has come up recently. The clinical guidance is that kids should get the vaccine that is appropriate for the age that they are when they get vaccinated. So for an 11-year-old, they should get the dose, and I believe it's a 1/3 the amount that is given to older kids. So 11-year-olds get that dose today. If that child turns 12 by the time it's 3 weeks later and time for them to get their second dose, then they would get the dose that's suitable for 12-year-olds. So that's what the clinicians are telling us. And so that's what our vaccinators are being instructed to do.
Cindy, good luck figuring that out. Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Mark in Elgin, Illinois. Mark, hi.
Hi. Love the show. And I'm just calling to say I got my booster I've had no side effects. My own children have equally been vaccinated. I have no concerns. I was mentioning to your screener there also, too, I admire the prowess of Mr. Rogers, the quarterback, but apparently he is not an epidemiologist. And I wish he would have the intelligence to realize that there's certain things he doesn't know, but epidemiologists do.
I gotcha, Mark. Thanks for the call. That's a whole nother conversation. But he mentioned those booster shots. Secretary Timberlake, can you talk about the current guidelines for who should be seeking out those boosters, or at least thinking about it?
Yep, absolutely. So for people who received the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine as their primary vaccine, once 6 months have elapsed, there are groups of people who are really strongly encouraged to go ahead and get a booster dose. And it's a long list, but I'll try to be quick. So it's everyone 65 years and older, because we continue to see that that is the age group that is most susceptible to really serious complications and death from COVID-19. Anyone living in a long-term care setting, people who are 18 and older who have a long list of complex or chronic health conditions, cancer, potentially diabetes, HIV infection, even smokers, people whose underlying health status puts them at greater risk. In addition, people over the age of 18 who work in settings where they're interacting all day, every day with members of the general public. So first responders, teachers, people working in manufacturing settings, not so much maybe because of the general public, but because they're working in close quarters with one another, grocery store workers, right? So all of those folks, Pfizer and Moderna, after 6 months, 6 months after completing that primary vaccination series, they would be eligible for boosters and really should go get them. In the case of Johnson & Johnson, it's a little bit simpler. So essentially everyone who got a Johnson & Johnson shot initially should get a booster dose at least 2 months after they got that first Johnson & Johnson dose. And as I'm sure your listeners are following, the advice for people who got Johnson & Johnson is that they can be boosted with Johnson & Johnson, or they could choose to be boosted with a Pfizer or a Moderna vaccine.
Thanks again for the call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Austin next in Barron. Austin, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I have a question. I have two sons, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. And we've always been getting all the vaccines that we're supposed to since they've been born. And my parents are telling us not to get it and to hold off because of the emergency use. They're saying it's not approved yet. And my concern is that if they do have some sort of reaction or something, since it's under the emergency use, is there some sort of recourse as far as if they have, you know, anything that could go wrong with them health-wise? Is Pfizer liable for that? Or since it's an EU approval, does that mean that they're not liable for that?
Austin, thanks for the call. Is that something you've been following, Secretary Timberlake?
Yeah, so I definitely don't feel like I'm ready to give advice on the potential for sort of liability issues. What I can say is that these vaccines have been given now hundreds of millions of times across the country, certainly in the 12 and up age group. And as I noted previously, just really rigorous testing in the younger age group. I think the other thing to remember is that we're talking about the same vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine itself, that has been fully approved for people ages 16 and up. And so, you know, that's also, I think, a good note of reassurance that the safety profile is really strong. And certainly the group of scientific advisors and experts that took a look at the clinical trial data before approving the vaccine for kids 12 to 15 and looked at it for kids 5 to 11. You know, in the case of 5 to 11-year-olds this week, it got a unanimous endorsement from that group of advisors who are really studying the data. And the last thing to say on that question is certainly parents and guardians and family members are going to have questions about the vaccine. And the best place to start is with your own care provider, your family doctor, your child's pediatrician. Call them up and have a conversation about what makes sense for your child and your family.
Thanks for that call. I want to take a couple minutes before we let you go to check out another issue I'm sure you're paying attention to. A lot of public health turnover, local health departments losing their leadership, a high-stress year and a half here, a lot of public pressure in some cases. What do you make of that level of turnover and the impact it could have?
So what I want to say, first of all, is we throughout the course of this pandemic have just relied so heavily on our local public health departments, our public health directors, their staff, to be on the front lines of the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, folks may not really understand what local public health departments have been doing when it comes to COVID-19. So these are the folks, you know, when there are cases that break out in a place of employment or a school or a long-term care setting, they're going in to do the investigations, do the contact tracing, see what they can do to contain the outbreak right away. They are doing a lot of proactive consulting with employers and schools to make sure people can be safe. They're running vaccination clinics and community testing programs. And that's on top of doing everything that they do all across our state to keep our restaurants and our food supply safe, make sure we've got good water quality, good air quality. So a huge part of our ability to be healthy and safe in everything we do in Wisconsin relies on our local public health leaders. So we owe them just a huge thank you. It has been a stressful year. We are certainly wanting to make sure that we continue to provide the kind of investment in resources that we know our local public health leaders need. Governor Evers has announced about $58 million in funding to continue to infuse into local public health departments on top of about $106 million that was previously allocated. So at the end of the day, you know, I think we all need to, as people have noted, give each other some patience and some grace and recognize that we really are all in this together and working together, doing the best that we can to keep one another safe. We will get through this pandemic.
Secretary Timberlake, thanks again for joining us today.
You are very welcome.
That's Karen Timberlake, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. She was with us today to talk about the rollout of vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds here in the state, along with the latest on booster shots and more.